Hi, everyone, and welcome to Book Break. I have a very special guest with me today, my director, Kathy.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to Kathy's heart, yes. Which is cozy mysteries.
Exactly.
We have had Kathy on the show once before, and you are still the record holder for our views on YouTube for the cozy mystery segment. So obviously a lot of people out there like cozy mysteries.
They enjoy
and
them.
Today we're going to give you some new ones to enjoy. So
yeah.
So I am going to start with my first one, which this is the continuation for a one that we talked about the last time.
Yes.
And as everyone knows, I love food, but this one is called A Murder Most French by Colleen Cambridge, and it's number 2 in the American in Paris series, which features Julia Child as a side character.
That's right.
Yes.
Need I say more? So this one, Julia Child is not actually the sleuth, but okay. She has a young friend named Tabitha Knight. And Tabitha is a young American woman from Detroit. She's a little bit progressive. She was a Rosie Riveter in the war. Her mother was French, and her father is a detective. So Tabitha is now in Paris staying with her grandfather and his companion, Uncle Ralph. So this one, the mystery begins when Julia Childs invites her neighbor and friend Tabitha to attend a wine and cooking demonstration at Le Cordon Bleu, where she's taking courses. So Tabitha ends up getting separated from Julia at this event.
Uh-oh.
She's looking for the restroom, and she ends up intercepting a delivery boy who says he has an urgent delivery for the chef giving the demonstration, and it's a bottle of wine. So Tabitha goes in, she finds a demonstration, she gives him the wine, they're all watching. He's like a very famous chef from a very well-known restaurant in Paris at the time. He makes a fantastic meal of sole. He opens a gift basket, finds a very rare French wine. It's an 1893 Rougetter. So he tastes the wine, and much to everyone's horror, he drops dead. Yes. So Tabitha once again has to start investigating this on her own, much to the chagrin of the French inspector that we met in the first book. So when a second chef dies at another party that both Tabitha and Julia are attending, it is very apparent that something sinister is afoot. So along with vandalism in their favorite farmer's market, and then a bottle of wine is delivered to her grandfather's house.
Uh-oh.
So she really starts to take the investigation into her own hands with, of course, very dangerous results.
Always.
Yeah. So this time she's in the catacombs of Paris. You get some insight into what Paris was like under the German occupation. But all in all, it's a very entertaining, fun read. And if you like the first one in this series, I highly recommend this one. Which is it came out at the very end of April. So
okay,
yeah.
And I actually read the first one after we talked about it, and I listened to it, and I loved it, and I can't wait to listen to this one.
Yeah. So. Oh, I'd like to listen to it. I've always read these, but the narration was good.
Yes. Yep. And she almost had the woman the Juliet Child accent.
Oh gosh.
So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
So I love the cozy mystery series mostly because. I don't like true crime. I don't like realistic crime, mm-hmm. that type of thing. So this one is called The Windsor Knot by S.J. Bennett. Now, are you a royal fan? Like, do you like the royals?
Oh, yes, okay. Yes. I'm embarrassed. I was the one that got up and watched the whole Charles and Diana wedding.
Me too.
And, yeah. No.
So I'm a fan of the royals. Mm-hmm. Real life royals, the Crown's version of the royals, and even fictional royals. So this is part of a Her Majesty the Queen Investigates series.
Oh, boy.
And I love the tagline that says, what if the Queen solved crimes? So I think part of the magic is that we always think that we know the royals. You know, we don't know them, but we think we know them. And also, what if this very, very famous person had a secret life? So she doesn't run around, you know, towns solving the mysteries because she's the queen. She has royal duties to attend to and things like that. But she has a private secretary who she works with.
Okay.
Who she then says, well, I think you need to go to talk to so-and-so. And so this private secretary will talk to her. She'll collect the things and then bring them back to the queen.
Okay.
All amongst their regular normal duties because they shouldn't really be doing this. And nobody really wants, she doesn't want to be discovered that she's trying to solve the crime. So in this book, there was a dine and sleep at Windsor Castle. Now, a dine and sleep in the story is that where the public, some people from the public get to come and have dinner with the queen. They sleep over at Windsor Castle and then they leave the next morning. Well, in the story, after the dinner, there's dancing and things like that. But then in overnight, one of the guests ends up dead.
Of course.
Yes, of course. So, but in real life, I found out there really is a thing called dine and sleep.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. I wish I had known this before the queen passed away. So in real life, 20 people from public life are invited to a private supper with the queen. They stay overnight in the castle, and then they leave after breakfast. So this is based on an event that actually, you know, a situation that happened.
That actually
happened. So one of the guests ends up murdered, and the queen's, one of the queen's royal subjects is the suspect. And she's like, it can't possibly be them. So she decides she has to right the wrong and find answers, but she can't be caught doing it herself.
Of course not.
So it's, I really liked it. It was a fun read.
Are the corgis involved?
The corgis are involved. Yes, they are.
Well, that just makes it a must read for me.
Exactly. I think you'll enjoy it. So it's one of, I think there's four books in the series. So I think you'd enjoy them.
Well, it's nice to know, too, that if you really like the setup and everything, that you've got more. And that's another great thing about cozy mysteries is a lot of time they come in a set or a series.
Yes. And so I think it gives you a chance to develop the, see how the setting plays out. Like, where else will they travel in London? Will they go to somewhere other than Windsor Castle? And how the characters develop and the relationships between them is kind of fascinating to see, too. So
have you read any others in that series?
I have not. It's on my list of things to do, but I've read that one and enjoyed it. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm adding it to my list for sure.
Good.
All right. So my second one is, it's a debut adult mystery. This author has written things, I believe, like a middle grade series, but it's called How to Solve Your Own Murder.
Oh.
And it's number one in the Castle Knoll Files by Kristen Perrin. So this one has a dual timeline.
Oh, I like stories like that.
Yeah, me too. So 1965, we have teenage Frances Adams, and she's at an English country fair with her two best friends. But her day takes a definite downturn when they go to have their fortunes read, and Frances gets a chilling prediction that she is going to be murdered.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So she spends a lifetime trying to solve a crime that hasn't happened yet. And in the meantime, she's compiling dirt on all of her neighbors, trying to figure out who's crossing her path and why.
Oh, wow.
And for decades, people tend to not take her paranoia seriously. She gets on the nerves of her doctors and other people. But then, 60 years later, when Frances is found murdered, like she always said she would be,
people started to believe her then.
That's right. So we have the present day. Frances has been murdered, but she has a niece, Annie Adams, and she has been summoned to the meeting of this country estate for the reading of Anne Frances's will. And her mom and Frances kind of had a falling out.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, at the will, it is revealed that she is challenging her potential heirs. She has a stepson, Saxon, and Annie, who is the niece, to solve her murder. Whoever does it within a week will inherit everything.
Oh, wow.
So it's a winner-take-all.
Seems like a really short period of time to try and solve a murder.
And if they fail and the police solve the mystery first, the estate is going to be sold off. So armed with Frances's diary and a list of theories, Annie is determined to find out who killed her great aunt. Annie is also an aspiring mystery writer, so that adds like another little layer to the story.
Sure.
So this one, the blurb on the book said it would appeal to fans of Knives Out and also the Thursday Murder Club. Have you ever read those?
I've seen the movie Knives Out. I've tried reading the Thursday Murder Club, but I really couldn't get into it at the time. But sometimes I like to revisit them afterwards.
Right. So I liked those. That it's going to be a series too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. And I'm trying to think. There's a really famous good actress that's going to be playing the role.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'll have to investigate that.
Yes.
But anyway, quaint, cozy village, check.
Yep.
Amateur sleuth, check. It had it all for me. So I really liked this one. And also, of course, a lot of backstory, family sure. secrets and mm-hmm. so forth, which you got to love a nice dark family secret.
Exactly.
So, yeah, this one was really good.
Oh, looks
really
like Helen Mirren,
yes.
Pierce Brosnan, oh. and Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great cast.
That's like a powerhouse
yes.
cast.
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll have to watch that then.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you know what network it's going to be on, Sean?
It says here... Digital Spy, as of an hour ago, says...
I'm wondering if it's going to be BritBox or one of the big ones.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah, it could be. It doesn't say, and I'm kind of going quick, but...
Okay.
From the same director as Home Alone.
Oh, wow.
And Harry Potter, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Chris Columbus.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That should be good, then.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
All right, what's your next one?
So my next one is Photoed Finished by Kristen Breacher, and it's part of the Snapshot of New York City series. And I thought of you because I know you're a photographer.
I was going to say, now another one on my list here.
Exactly. So Liz Spears is an aspiring photographer. She loves to do portrait photography. She has a business in the basement of the brownstone that her grandparents live in. But she's barely eking out her living.
Mm-hmm.
She has about enough funds to get to the end of the year, and then she's going to have to decide what she wants to do. So she gets an opportunity of a lifetime to work for the premier event photographer in the city, Regina. And the big event is the holiday debutante ball.
Okay.
So... Liv gets the job, and she thinks this might be the answer to all her questions, because if she can get a steady gig with this woman, she can keep her photography business on the side and do both and live and survive in New York City. So she gets the job. She's all excited. She takes pictures of everything. But then one of the billionaire attendees dies.
Of course.
So she's intrigued because she's like, but I was there, and I saw anything, but I didn't see anybody... obviously kill this person.
Right.
So she starts to look at things, and then she starts to go back and review the pictures that she's taken from the event. And as she does, she starts to put things together, and she decides that she, of course, can solve this quicker and faster than any of the actual authorities can. So I found that whole part interesting. There's also an investigator that kind of comes in on the side to try and help her. But then he has a secret past of his own, and so she's trying to figure out whether she wants to hang out with him or not. Part of it, what it reminded me of, was the Cam Jansen books.
Oh, my gosh.
Back in the day.
So yeah.
Cam Jansen was a fifth-grade detective with a photographic memory,
mm-hmm.
and she would often say, click, and take a picture of a setting in her mind, and then that would help her solve the problems. So in a very weird children's librarian twist, that's what this book reminded me of. So it was a really great book. It really got the feel for New York City
mm-hmm.
and how, I mean, I'd love to visit New York City. So it gave you the feel of how to live in, what living in New York City was like, and like a glimpse into the rich and famous with the debutante ball and
yeah.
things like that. So it was a lot of fun.
I always like rich and famous, like rich people behaving badly.
Exactly.
That's always a fun premise.
Exactly. So there's a second book out, and I've read that, and I don't know if there's plans for more, but they were really, really good. Nice, easy reads.
Okay. Going to add that one to my list,
too.
There
you go.
So my third one is called Pride and Premeditation, and this one is actually a teen mystery, and it's by Tirza Price.
Okay.
So... even though it's a teen mystery, I think it would have a lot of adult appeal,
okay.
particularly because the characters are from the Jane Austen Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, sure.
So all the characters are from Pride and Prejudice are here. Mr. Darcy, Mr. Wickham, Mr. Collins, Jane,
oh, nice.
Charlotte, you know, all the extensive, you know, lines of characters. Lizzie Bennet is the same headstrong daughter from Pride and Prejudice. Kind of ramped up a little bit more feministic in this one.
Okay.
But she works informally at her father's law practice, and she really wants to be employed and eventually become a barrister.
Ooh.
You know, like her father. Mr. Collins, however, is his appointed heir because naturally in England at that time, Mr. Bennet had all daughters.
Yes.
They can't inherit. They mm-hmm. can't own their own property and so forth. So the appointed heir is also employed at Longbourn and Son, and frequently Lizzie has to bail him out because he's a little bit lazy.
A little incompetent?
Yes, a little incompetent. Charles Bingley, this time, instead of being the beau of Jane, is the accused murderer in this story. So Charles is accused of murdering his brother-in-law, who, according to society gossips, was steeped in debt and unable to keep a job.
Ooh.
So he's got a lot of motive there because mm-hmm. he was, you know, bailing this man out
sure.
because he was married to his sister. Charlotte, Lizzie's friend, and I don't know whether she was a cousin in Pride and Prejudice, can't remember, but she's employed as like a legal secretary. And in this version, she is mixed race. I believe she had like a Caribbean mother and, you know, so she's a little bit different. And Mr. Darcy, of course, we have to have him. He is the attorney and good friend of Charles Bingley. And he is very satisfyingly Darcy-like with his quotes and, you know, the whole Pride and Prejudice thing. So some things remain the same, like Jane is very supportive, the older sister and her confidant. And Mrs. Bennet is obsessed with marrying off all her daughters and getting a better place in London society.
Of course.
She was quite annoying, but still fun. You know.
That's good.
So it was funny to see these characters in a different setting.
Sure.
And the author does have a note at the end that she took a lot of liberties because, of course, in 1813, Lizzie would not have been able to work at her father's law firm or investigate murders.
Right.
So I kind of thought it had a cozy feel to it a little bit. You don't, you know, they do describe the crime and everything and what happened, but, you know, it has more of that fun kind of atmosphere to it. So I think it would appeal to any adults that enjoy cozy mysteries with a historical setting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So,
and I think that's interesting when they do things in history, like they do take liberties, but it's realistic enough that you imagine that possibly could have happened.
Right.
Or to see them, or to see a character who traditionally wouldn't have been able to do, like she was able to be able to solve those crimes. And wrong or right. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm willing to suspend my disbelief for this.
Yes.
More so than some of the thrillers that I read about where I'm just thinking, why would you have walked into that when you know the murderer, you know, type of thing.
That is true.
Yeah.
So my last book is So Pretty It Hurts by Kate White. It is a Bailey Wegans mystery. And I realized I stumbled across Bailey Wegans years ago, because when I looked back, the original books came out like in 2002.
Oh, wow.
So this must have flown across my Hoopla feed as an audiobook, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to it. So again, it's part of a series, and I do think finding a character and seeing how they've grown and developed, like now she's Bailey used to be a true crime writer and investigator for one of the top women's magazines mm-hmm. in the country. Things have changed over the years, and now she works at Buzz, which is a celebrity, you know, magazine. She still does crime stuff, but the celebrity part of it's a wearing on her a little bit. So she needs a break. So when her friend and coworker Jesse suggests that they go to a house party at a music mogul's house in upstate New York, and she learns that supermodel Devin Barr is going to be there, she thinks, let's go. This will be fun. But she gets there, and there's a lot of weird vibe with the party there. And I think that happens sometimes when you've got a bunch of different people that all know one person, but, like, I might not know you, you might not know Sean, but, like, how do we jive as a group?
Right.
So there was weird vibes. Some people knew each other, some people didn't. So then a snowstorm happens, and they get trapped.
Of course, they're in upstate New York.
They're in upstate New York. A snowstorm happens, they get trapped. And when Devin is out, or when Bailey's out walking in the woods in one morning, she runs across Devon. And Devon is all upset, and she's like, what's wrong? And she's like, I have to get out of here. It's not safe for me. And Bailey's like, well, I'll help you. And she's like, no, nobody can help me. And she storms off. Well, then, guess who turns up dead?
The supermodel.
So Devon's involved, Bailey's involved, and she gets called in the middle of the night to help somebody because she can hear frantic knocking. So she goes to the room, and there's one of the helpers is trying to bring Devon some water. She's like, she called for water an hour ago. And Bailey's like, an hour ago, and you're just bringing it now? And she's like, oh, I got distracted. So they go in the room, and there they find Devon dead.
Right.
So Bailey's looking around, trying to just assess the situation in case she can see anything of interest. And so then the police are involved, and they have trouble getting to the house because of the snowstorm, of course. So once they do get there and the police start interrogating all the guests, they get to Bailey, and Bailey says, well, what about the Ipecac? And the officer's like, there wasn't any of that in the room. So then she realizes that some of the evidence has been removed from the scene of the crime.
Uh-oh.
And then she has to figure out who wanted Devon dead in the first place, and then why would they remove some of the evidence. So she starts to investigate. Then, of course, the weekend breaks up and everybody goes back to their places, which makes it a little bit harder to try and track everybody down. But she manages to talk to everybody, and she's trying to figure out who killed Devon before, quite honestly, somebody tries to kill her to just keep her quiet about everything.
Right. So it wasn't like solved like a locked room mystery
where
everything happens in the one place. Okay.
I thought it was going to be like that when the whole snowstorm trapped everybody.
Yeah, me too.
But no, they managed to solve it. So, yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, we definitely have some good choices for everyone, and we'll have to see if this episode breaks the record of the last cozy mystery episode. For people that don't know, we also have our film on YouTube and on Facebook if you like to watch instead of listen on the podcast.
Exactly.
So, and we are coming up on a big milestone. Sean has been producing. This will be our 50th episode
time.
So on our next episode, Sean is going to come out from behind.
I thought I'd actually just keep you on camera and I'd stay back here.
Oh, so you want to remain the mystery man forever.
We'll see.
Okay. All right.
Never know.
But we are going to hear about some of the things that Sean is reading and also do some fun facts of what we've accumulated in our history with some of our most popular episodes,
awesome.
Some of our themes.
Might be a little different next episode, so maybe get ready for that one.
Nice. Stay tuned.
What a great way to celebrate.
Yeah.
That's right. We
That's
have
awesome.
To celebrate. So we started during the pandemic, so
That's
this
right.
has been rolling now for 4 years.
Yes, well, and people are enjoying it. They love to watch it and listen to it. So
thank you so much for joining me today, Kathy.
You're welcome.
I always like talking mysteries, and now I've just added 3 more books to my list.
As I have, yes.
Thanks
me too.
To you. So, but we will see you all next time for our next edition of Book Break.
Book Break is a production of the Greece Public Library, made possible through the support of the Friends of the Greece Public Library. Theme music composed and performed by Sean Greif.